Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Today we are going to study 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 26. And like our prior lesson, actually, there's a load of wealth of information in this one particular passage, and so we don't want to combine it with other ones and miss the importance of this particular passage of Scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 26, the Bible says, "And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men." You see that? The child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. Now, that's a powerful verse of Scripture because it shows you a combined favor, a favor that he has with the Lord and a favor that he also has with men. And I think sometimes people get the idea that those are separate things. For instance, I think people get the idea, if I am in favor with the Lord, that I won't be in favor with men. And so they have a lifestyle that is hypocritical. In other words, they're one thing with the people at church because that's how they feel like they have favor with the Lord. And then they're another thing when they're with their friends, let's say at the office or at the hunting camp or, you know, wherever, because they want to get in good with that group of people. And that's not what this verse is saying at all. This verse is saying something totally different. The child Samuel, when he grew up, was serving the Lord, and the Lord, he had favor with him. And as he was growing up and had favor with the Lord, he also had favor with men. They were combined. Now, we want to make some comments about that. And first of all, as a Christian, we need to look at this and see how this verse of Scripture applies in our own lives, because it's very instructive. And the first thing we say is, as a Christian, favor with the Lord precedes favor with men. That's right. Favor with the Lord precedes favor with men. We have it just the opposite. Most men are more concerned about gaining favor with men, the people with whom they live, and then working it out somehow to keep favor with the Lord. And they flip it. It shouldn't be that way. Favor with the Lord precedes favor with men. Now, there are some prime examples in the Bible. Let's give you Jesus Christ as one. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. The Bible says, "Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Do you see that? All right, now, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was 12 years old, stayed back at the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And then he went back with Mary and Joseph and was subject unto them, and you don't hear any more about him until he comes out at almost 30 years old to begin his ministry. All right? So the Bible says during that time, as he increased in wisdom and in stature, he increased in favor with God and man. He had those perfectly in balance. Notice, in favor with God first, and then in favor with man second. As a Christian, you always need to stay in favor with the Lord as a primary concern, more than in favor with men. And what he's saying is, as a general rule, as a Christian, as you are in favor with the Lord, then you will also find yourself in favor with men, particularly, as you know, we've got a long lesson here, so we'll have to make some other applications, but particularly in favor with men who love the Lord. You don't have to sweet talk them. You don't have to flatter them. You don't have to, say just the right thing. If you're in good shape, standing with the Lord, then you'll be with your other men that are godly men. But you know something? This extends even a little bit further in some cases. Proverbs chapter 16, and look at verse 7. The Bible says, and this is Solomon writing, the Bible says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now you think about that in your life, okay? If you're having marital struggle, you know where the problem is? The problem is, first of all, in your favor with the Lord. Truly, when people start to attack the problem at home, you know, they get into all the typical fusses and fighting that you have heard about and maybe even experienced in your own relationship. You know, I need to change her, or I need to change him, or, you know, if he would just do this, or if she would just do that. We need to go to a counselor and talk about this, blah, blah, blah. Whatever the case may be, I'll tell you something. As your relationship with the Lord improves, your relationship with your family improves. You're having trouble with handling the situation with your kids. Well, the best thing for you to do is to grow, first of all, in favor with the Lord. For one thing, you're going to get more help from the Lord. From another thing, you're going to see more clearly where the proper boundaries are in your relationship with your children. It may be that they're not in favor with the Lord, and the things you're doing are actually, lo and behold, accommodating the problem as opposed to, standing your ground for righteousness. It may very well be that your reactions are short-tempered and a variety of other things that are exacerbating the problem. And if you were closer with the Lord and in favor with the Lord, you would know where to draw the proper boundary and not be pushed into reacting in an unchristian way. And you wouldn't be trying things to manipulate behavior that aren't going to work anyway and just frustrating the whole case. A lot of times when people get real close with the Lord, you know what happens? You start trusting the Lord more, and you start trusting the Lord with your situation, your employment situation, your family situation, your marital situation, and you start saying, you know what? I can't change them, but I can change me. And what I need to do is let the Lord change me into the person that He wants me to be. And if the other people can't get along with that, well then, okay. But you know what I found? Generally speaking, when you start getting that relationship between you and the Lord straightened out, it starts straightening out some of the other relationships. Okay? It may not change them, but it starts straightening them out. They become less of a problem. He says here, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. So listen, if you find yourself out of favor with men, first of all, the thing to do is consider your favor with the Lord. It may very well be that your time in the Bible, in private devotions, in prayer, in church, in worship, in the condition of your heart with the Lord is just out of kilter, and you're never going to change all the circumstances around you and somehow improve your favor with the Lord, or somehow change those circumstances until you deal with your favor with the Lord. So as a Christian, favor with the Lord precedes favor with men. Okay? Second thing. Favor with men should never precede favor with the Lord. That seems rather obvious, but it's the corollary, and we've already touched on it, but we really need to expand the thinking here. Favor with men should never precede favor with God. Now, when Jesus Christ was here in the earth, He had all kinds of trouble with the Pharisees. And they challenged Him, and they wanted to kill Him, and eventually they called for His crucifixion, and He was crucified. They just had all kinds of troubles. They came up and they tempted Him with various kinds of questions. You know, they tried to trick Him into situations. They tempted Him with trying to stone this woman to see which way He would fall out, whether He would support the law or not. I mean, it's just a ridiculous time that He had with these guys. But you know what the case with the Pharisees was? The Bible says in John chapter 12, verse 43, they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. You see, that was their problem. They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. And as a result of that, it created a tremendous amount of trouble in their own lives because they put the favor with men ahead of their favor with God. And as a result, what happened to them? Well, Jesus Christ scathed them in Matthew chapter 23, and he said to them, among other things, how shall you escape the damnation of hell? You vipers, you serpents, you know, you blind leaders of the blind, you hypocrites. Wow, I'm telling you what a terrible report. You know what the problem was? They were more concerned about their favor with men. Listen, when it came down to a choice between crucifying Jesus Christ and saving their own necks in the eyes of the Romans, if we let him thus alone, they said in John chapter 11, verse 48, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. So what they wanted to do is secure their place with the Romans at the expense of their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they ended up losing both of them. They killed Jesus Christ, and in 70 A.D., Titus came in and killed a bunch of them and destroyed the temple and everything else and knocked it everything down. There wasn't a stone left upon a stone in that temple by 70 A.D. They lost out on both counts. You can't, listen, you cannot get and hold favor with men. Men are too fickle. And you put that favor with men before your favor with the Lord, you are going to start doing some strange things in order to win their favor. Paul was very careful in his preaching. He said, I am not about to abrogate my responsibilities in the gospel to the Lord God by trying to make this gospel more palatable to you. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, he said, for do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And do you know today there are a lot of people, preachers, who are worried about what people are going to say if they say the truth in certain things. That's right. And so they would just not touch certain subjects at all. You've heard some of these really high, potent, powerful, big shot, well-known, big name preachers in interviews with some of these top interviewers. And when they were asked certain hard questions, they begged off. You know, they said, I don't want to talk about whether there's a fiery hell or not. I'll call it a separation from God. Another one was asked about, you know, what about the sin of homosexuality? Well, we just don't make statements on that kind of stuff. We just love everybody. We're just trying to, you know, get folks in here and make feel good and you know, accept them, blah, 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 blah. Just wouldn't touch the issue at all. And on that goes. What's the problem? The problem, very simply, is they want to maintain their favor with men. You know, one of them was asked one time about preaching to Muslims, and he kind of caved in a little and said, well, you know, God's going to just have to judge everybody based on, you know, how they handle their religion. Didn't want to touch that issue. And when asked about it later, he said to his congregation, well, what I didn't want to do is blow our opportunity with them. I want to make sure that I leave the door open so eventually I can get to the gospel, get them to the gospel. You know what that is? That's simply more concern about maintaining favor with men than maintaining favor with God. That's all that is. You know, Saul was the first king that Israel ever had, and he was deathly afraid of the people that he led. And a king, I'll tell you, he cannot lead his people in the direction that God wants them to go if he is concerned about his popularity as a politician. And that's why Christian politicians have a nightmare of a time this day and age. Because once they get in there, they've got to maintain their political favor, and sometimes that might mean doing things that would be a little bit contrary to what God would want them to do in the same capacity. And if their favor with men is of more concern to them than their favor with God, and that favor with men precedes their favor with God, they are going to make some decisions that seem out of character for a Christian. I heard a preacher friend of mine tell me one time, he said, I'm always suspicious of a man who is a Christian who is also in a political office because I recognize the pressure that's upon him, and there are times when he is going to make decisions that aren't necessarily decisions that God would have him to make. And I understand the problem because he's in a position, if he's going to maintain his position in office, where he's got to maintain his favor with men, and sometimes men are out of favor with God. 1 Samuel chapter 13, look at verse 11. Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore, said I, the Philistines will come down upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. What was going on? Well, Saul and Samuel had an agreement that they were going to get together after a week in Gilgal. Well, after the 7 days, or that nearly full time that Samuel was supposed to be away, the people were getting so scared of the Philistines that they were scattering from Saul. That's 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 8. And so Saul said, if I'll offer a burnt offering, perhaps then I can keep these people from running away. Well, you know what he was doing? He was trying to maintain his favor with men ahead of his favor with God. And when he offered that sacrifice, Samuel had to tell him, thou hast done foolishly that thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. And then he says in verse 14 of 1 Samuel 13, now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. And he, you know what he did? He lost favor completely with the Lord in trying to gain favor with men. That happens. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, Saul was given some very specific instructions regarding Agag and the Amalekites. And he didn't follow those instructions, though he told Samuel he did. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 20, Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But then he says, I'm going to blame the people here. The people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. Aren't you impressed with that? Samuel said, boy, you have really messed up. To obey is better than sacrifice. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. What a tragedy. You know what Saul said after that? I've sinned. Watch it. For I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words. Why? Because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. You know what he was trying to do? Maintain his favor with men ahead of his favor with God. And you know what happened to him? He lost favor with both. And that's what's going to happen to you. You'll lose favor with both if you try to put your favor with men ahead of favor with God. That's right. Listen, you think of these high school kids and college kids that are under peer pressure, and you think about these executives that are under peer pressure to perform a certain way. I'm going to tell you something. If you believe what you're hearing in this passage of Scripture about Samuel, if you're hearing and believing what the Bible said about the Lord Jesus Christ, you are always better off to forget the peer pressure and to simply maintain your favor with the Lord and let the chips fall where they may concerning your favor with men. That's right. Because the men that will be in favor with you if you maintain your favor with God are going to be the men that you want to be in favor with as you go down the road. That's right. In other words, favor with the Lord will attract to you the right kind of men. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed. You don't want to try to maintain friendship with foolish people at your expense. That's a terrible and tragic thing to do. Because they're fickle, it costs you with the Lord, it destroys your testimony in such a way that when you absolutely fall flat on your face and have proven out to be the fool that they all knew you were by trying to kiss up to them anyway, you know what? They'll drop you like a bad habit, but the Lord never will. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And I'll tell you what, I've tried it both ways in my life. I put favor with men ahead of favor with God when I was in my early years in professional life. I really did. I hate to admit that. I hate it that it happened. But I did that. And you know what? I lost my favor with the Lord. When I regained favor with the Lord by obeying Him, you know what? I lost a lot of those friends. But I'm going to tell you something. The friends that I have now that have come as a result of gaining favor with the Lord are the kinds of friends a man would want to have all the way through his life till he dies. They're the best that they can be. And you will attract to you the right kind of friend when you maintain favor with the Lord. The favor with men will draw to you the right kind of people. All right, here's another point. I know we had to camp on that, but I'm going to tell you what, that problem right there, that favor with men over favor with God, that's ruining political life, it's ruining family life, it's ruining professional life, it's ruining the pulpits in America. You worry, you concern yourself with the favor with the Lord way before you're concerned with your favor with men, and you watch how your life will change for the better. All right, and here's the next thing. Favor with God may put you out of favor with men. You say, well, I want to have favor with men. You know something? It may be that you find yourself standing all alone, maintaining your favor with God, even though Samuel grew in favor with the Lord. There were times when he had to do things to Israel and had to do things to King Saul that made it rough on him. And it may make it rough on you. It may put you out of favor with men. It did the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ came to Israel as their king, but he knew that he had to die as the Lamb of God first. And as he furthered his ministry, things began to shake up, and by the time he is standing there at his trial, the mob outside of the judgment hall is hollering to the man. They're hollering, crucify him, crucify him. His own disciples forsook him and fled. And the Lord Jesus Christ was standing there all alone. You know, I'll tell you, Paul was always more concerned about his favor with the Lord than he ever was his favor with men. And when he was standing there on trial, after he finally made it to Rome and had to give an answer for the accusations that were against him, I'm telling you what, it was heavy. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. That was a very difficult time for him because he expected somebody to stand up with him or for him. They wouldn't do it. But you know something? He maintained favor with the Lord. I'm going to tell you, when he got there up to heaven, and when you see him get his reward at the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to be impressed. All right? Listen, David maintained his favor with the Lord and lost favor with Saul. Maintained his favor with the Lord and lost favor with Joab. You see how that goes? Sometimes doing the right thing, he maintained favor with the Lord and lost favor with Michael, his wife. And she said, man, you know, you sure made yourself out a fool today, dancing in front of the ark with an ephod on. Well, he fixed her wagon. She just lived basically in widowhood from that time forward. Didn't have anything to do with her. You know, you gotta know, listen, there are times when you're going to maintain your favor with the Lord where men aren't just going to go with you. And it is certainly one of the costs, but you know something, we're not finished with the message either. Let me tell you something else. Favor with God may not always be favorable. So what are you talking about? Well, to maintain your favor with God, sometimes he may have to put you through some things you really don't want to go through. Favor with God may not always be favorable. We talk about favorable winds when you're sailing. Well, sometimes the winds can be stormy and sometimes there can be no wind at all. And as much as people like to sail that sail, it's not fun to sail when you don't have any wind, and it's not fun to sail in a storm. Favor with God may not always be favorable. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 5 about the Lord Jesus Christ, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience. How did he do that? By the things which he suffered. To be in favor with God, Jesus Christ had to go to the cross. To be in favor with God, Jesus Christ had to suffer and die. He had to become our sin for us and shed his blood to pay for our sins. So that's not always very favorable. Of course not. Now, the combination of events will be favorable. We know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Each individual ingredient is oftentimes not very good, but the combination, you've heard the illustration about the biscuit, you know, flour and salt and Crisco and, you know, other, whatever you put in there, a raw egg, whatever it is you may put in. None of those things by themselves are very good. The milk is. You put all those things together and stick them in some heat for a period of time, and they come out with those biscuits, and all you need is some good, you know, venison gravy to go on top of that thing, and I'm telling you, you've got yourself a meal. Likewise, some of the things you have to go through to maintain your favor with God may not be favorable, but you put the things all together, they work together for good. Which brings me to the last point. Favor with God will always be good. It'll always be profitable. Favor with God will always, I guess I should say, work out well or be profitable. You say, how's that? Because, partner, one of these days you're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ before God Almighty, and you're going to give account of everything you've done. And He's going to reward the things you've done that you've done well for Him. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And then you build on that foundation. And when you build gold, silver, and precious stones, those may not be the things that are favorable to men. They may like the gods of wood and hay and stubble. You build on that thing, that gold, silver, and precious stones, those things are going to survive the fire, and you get to keep those rewards with God. And you'll look back on that and say, man, I'm glad I maintain favor with God. For one thing, He's not fickle, and for another thing, He rewards, and the men don't. Listen, David had to maintain his favor with God, and it nearly cost him the kingdom when Absalom came to the throne. But you know what? Not Absalom will be on the throne during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. David will. It's a good thing that he maintained his favor with God. Do you understand? Favor with the Lord precedes favor with men. Never put the favor with men before the favor with God. Ever. And you'll come out all right. Trust me. Trust the Word of God. It always works out God's way.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible.